This goes out, huh? Yeah, very moving song, Dan. Very moving testimonies, thoughts. Dan is a master of the thought. And I mean, how do you put into words, in many respects, the greatness of God's word? I was sharing with Mike Barbera yesterday. Hi, Mike. Bless your heart. He's been out and about on the road for the last month or so. Always blessed to see him, and thank you for your contributions and your assets and gift to the body of Christ, of which you all have assets, ministries, things that you contribute to the body of Christ. No one can replace you. You have something that you can do within the body of Christ that no one else can do. So I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that our lives have connected and touched. I'm kind of rethinking exactly what I'm teaching this morning a little bit right now. But part of it is the strength that we do have when we are collectively together, and that there are certain concepts and things in God's word that are really designed to make you stronger and to greater mature and to develop more so that you can endure. One of the great things that God gave us about endurance, we've taught about it many times. You guys could probably get up here and teach it more than I could, and that's about the hope. You know, it says Christ is coming back. What we're doing is not in vain here, guys. People will come and go. We're going to come and go, whatever you wanted to say about it. But there is a time coming when all this whole situation is going to be set completely right, and it's going to be just like that. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them together in the air, and so shall they be forever with the Lord, right? You know? And as emotional as this is, and I get it, because this is part of the purpose of music, is to move us, I think, emotionally, especially when it's got a godly message. But let's not forget that there is a greater day coming. We're not victims here, guys. We're moving from a place of victory. See, we're not moving to victory. We're moving from a place of victory. And a lot of what we're looking for, we've already been given. In Colossians, it says you are complete in Him. What was that thing we said the other day? Well, then what's stopping us from tapping into that and moving forward? Ken's hot here. He was here a couple of weeks ago, taught his heart out about it. You nailed it. What was he teaching about? You've already got it. So why are we trying to keep getting it? How much more spirit can you get than you got at the time of the new birth? Anybody who's confessed Romans 10:9-10, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God hath raised him from the dead, you're made whole. You're now body, soul, and spirit. And that's the spirit nature that's now been given to you. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, he created everything and put everything within their environment for them to just to live abundantly and prosper and have everything they need. You agree? Absolutely. You can read about it in Genesis. So at some point in time, did Adam and Eve get hungry and say, "Oh, God, please provide food. Oh, we need food. We're hungry." Did they need to pray that prayer? You know why? They can reach out and take the food. It's all around them, right? It was created in their world, in their environment. They didn't have to pray to God to come into my life. Let your love saturate me. Bring me into your presence. Bring you into his presence? How does that happen exactly? You know, when Jesus Christ died, the veil was cut in two. You entered into the Holy of Holies once and for all. You live in the Holy of Holies. How about convincing your brain cells that you are in the presence of God? You don't have to pray for the presence of God to come into your life. That's a faulty prayer. Everything that you ever needed was given to you and provided for you in the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You've got all of it. So the question becomes, now what? Now what do I do with it? Well, I don't see it. I don't feel it. Well, what does that have to do with spirit? That's in the body and soul category. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually, what? Discerned. You know, God is a spirit. God is spirit. He's not in the five senses realm, right? But yet somehow we expect some sort of sense knowledge activity to reach up to God. That is the way of Christianity called religion. I move forward in all these actions, do all these things, hoping to get something from God, like I'm going to twist his arm behind his back. Oh, yeah. And if I can't get the prayer, then I get 100 people praying, 1,000 people, 10,000. What does that do? Convince God I'm serious? Think about it. God has already given to every individual who is born again everything there is to get. We think God exists somewhere out in here, out in the heavens, and somehow we have to extract it from heaven down into our world to receive it. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. This is completely different than what I plan on sharing, but you know what? It's in my heart to share right now, so here we go. There is one way to appropriate the things of God. What's it say? Hope activates. Hope anticipates. There was a little formula there. Remember that, Bob? Remember something? Hope anticipates. Hope activates. Faith appropriates. That's what we're talking about. How do I get the potential power of everything that's within me spiritually to come to the surface? How do I do that? If you were standing here today, right up here, how would you tell people how to do that and how it's working for you in your life? I'll just sit down right here. Somebody, one of you guys, get up here and start telling us how that is working, how you're appropriating faith to bring forth the manifestation of the spiritual power of God. That's the quest. You know, that's the quest. There is a way to do it. I don't think we've excelled at it. I don't think we've arrived. But we are moving in that direction. That I may say this 100 times, you've already got it. So quit trying to get it. What is it you're looking for? Health, prosperity, marital harmony, signs, miracles, wonders, healing, manifestations of the Spirit of God, listening to God, hearing to God. What is it? What is it? Unless the Word of God is lying, which I do not believe it is, it says you are complete in Him. And if the Word of God says you are complete in Him, you know what that means? You are complete in Him. Right? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not me. Oh, I myself, I can't do nothing. Okay. Then don't do anything. But rely on the Spirit of God within you to help you accomplish the impossible. How could Jesus possibly have said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father? How could he possibly say that and not be a liar? You think Jesus was a liar? I don't either. And yet he said days before, hours before the crucifixion, to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. You know, he realized he was going to be going through the worst period and part of his whole life. beaten beyond recognition, nails driven through him, dying as a crucifixion. That's a nasty way to go. And somehow he says to the disciples, guys, don't let your hearts be troubled. You know, Jesus could operate from a place of rest. See, he finished the work so now we could have rest. Rest. But we're all tied up in knots. We don't even when we're busy, we're so burned out, we still don't think we're doing enough. Well, I have a quest for you then. How about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another place it says in verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then it goes on, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by all these things that happened, through faith also, Sarah. These all died in faith. Faith. How does that spirit nature then, how do we get it up and out so that all the potential power and reality of Christ within us manifests itself in the senses realm? I tell you, there's a simple answer. I don't know if it's a simple in application. It's faith. It's faith. Faith activates. Faith brings forward. Oh my gosh. I wish I could. God is just going to have to reveal this to you in his own way. Well, believe me, Jesus Christ did not go through all that he went through, and God did not prepare all these things since before the foundation of the world with your name hand-stamped to see you walking around like a failure, or me, or feeling like a victim, and I'm powerless in all these circumstances, and all these situations, oh God, what happened to me? Guys, I am telling you, like Dan said, with like what we've heard, those are circumstances. Those are situations. Those are things that are just distractions of the enemy to talk you out of what you really, truly have. And he tried the same thing on Jesus in Luke chapter 4. And he said, if you be the Son of God. You're not really what the Word of God says. I mean, look, you'd have a big fat bank account. You'd be in perfect health. You'd be able to witness and heal and do everything. You don't do that. So why are you even trying? Those are just whispers of the enemy that just need to be shut down real quick. I know I'm kind of intense at the moment, but you know what? It's just so real to me. I mean, don't even call yourself a Christian. Just call yourself a believer. You know, Christianity has just been associated with all sorts of other weird things. Okay, call yourself a believer. You know, I'm gonna walk with God. I'm gonna believe God's word. If nobody believes the word of God, I'm gonna believe this word of God. See, Dr. Worrell, will you say, if nobody believes this word of God, it is still God's word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God magnified this word above all his name, says in Psalm 138 too, right? This word of God is God's word whether anybody believes it or not. Whether I believe it, he believes it, you believe it, no matter what. We just have to exercise faith and just say yes to the word. Okay, God, you know what? I believe it. I've been fighting my whole life to try and say that. So why don't I just say it? I choose to walk by the Spirit. I want to see the signs and wonders. I want to walk like Jesus walked. Help me to get whatever it is I need to get to that point. What the heck? Otherwise, you know what? It's just, we're just talking about it. Oh my gosh. Anyway, and I know I sound real intense and all that, but you know what? It's a very joyful thing. There's a lot of joy as comes as a result of exalting the things of God and walking forward in the power of the Spirit and the things of God and the walking in faith. I'm sure Jesus was a very lighthearted man. You know, and we see the pictures and whatever, but you know what? People were drawn to him. He exercised authority, he walked in power, and he was very joyful. I bet he was just the greatest guy, like this all-American person, we can say, who you just wanted to be with. You just wanted to hang out with him and be together with him. And he was just saying things, and then all of a sudden he would just do things that were so far beyond the senses' mind. Feeding the 5,000. And then shortly after that, he comes walking to them on the water. And he says, you don't believe because you have hardness of heart. You know what? How quickly they forgot. There they sat, man. Here's Jesus performing this miracle. Not soon after that, they're in a storm. He comes walking towards them on the water. And it even says he would have passed them by. Now, that's an interesting thing to think about. Kind of freaked them out. But he challenged them. He said, you got a hard heart. You know what a hard heart really does? It gravitates more to the senses than it does to the spiritual. When miracles happen, it's like, oh, my God, a miracle. How'd that happen? When really it should be the norm. You know, it should be the norm. Oh, gosh. I was going to teach on this morning something called five things to do every day to keep yourself strong. But I just feel like we have a limited time, and I don't really want to go into that. So let's just say that you develop your time with God, spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, talking to God. And every day, spend some time at being quiet. There are so many things roaring around in our heads. How do you even discern the voice of God? I mean, is he yelling at you? Something about the still small voice, right? I take some time to get quiet. And also, I mentioned this thing earlier about spending time with those who help to strengthen you. It's people that you know will kind of hold you accountable, who will speak the word of God to you. You know, when Al calls, leave a message or something like that, he's not saying, hey, Barney, how's it going? Or how are the Dodgers doing? And golly, you know. I mean, that's all fine and well. But you know what he's telling me? I'm praying for you. God really put you on my heart. I think you're a wonderful man of God. You're awesome. You know, you hear words like that, and all of a sudden you're like, wow. Because there's somebody out there who's listening to God. And when he speaks, he's speaking the word of God. There's so many other things that could be spoken, right? Man, I just use Alan as an example, and I'm thankful for him, and I'm thankful for what he does like that. And he's not the only one. I know a lot of you guys do that for each other. How does God work with you, speak with you, puts a little thing in your heart? Hey, you ought to send Shanti a little card. Why don't you just call her and leave a message? Oh, no. Judy Hunt, you ought to pray for her. Lena, Daniel Woods, all these things that come to your heart. What do we do with them? Just ignore them? You know, that's God. God is speaking much more than we give him an opportunity to that we don't recognize. What does he got to do? Come down from heaven in a bolt of lightning? Rebecca! It says you have the mind of Christ. You have spirit within you. God is constantly communicating to that spirit within you. We got to tune in to the right frequency. God's broadcasting on 103.7. You know where we are? 100.7. Well, guess what? If you're on 100.7 and God's broadcasting on 103.7, you're on the wrong frequency. You got to dial it in. See, it's not a thing of condemnation. It's just, how do I move myself to that place where I can really receive the greatest benefit and hear from God? How does a Christian walk in this world today without hearing from God? Wow. How would Jesus have done that? It's an honest thought. It's an honest, confronting thought. Do I hear from God? And if so, could you get up here today, right now, and begin to teach how that happens? What is Christianity? It's a true and vital spiritual relationship with God. It's not doing all these fancy works and talking all this. That may be part of it. But when the rubber meets the road, man, it is about hearing the voice of God, being confident in your heart that it is God Almighty who is showing you and teaching you and sharing something with you, and you're moving forward on it, just like that. Bam. Now, that's a dynamic Christian life right there. See? We could go through this Word of God, memorize every scripture. I know all this stuff. I know everything there is to know about everything. I know four crucified. I know Jesus is this and that. And I'm just here to say, so what? Because there's a million other people out there who don't believe that are doing great things for God. You know, the doctrines we believe aren't necessarily the criteria of doing great things for God. I can guarantee you that. You know that. It may be confusing, but it's true. Somehow God sees past that. We used to be so arrogant about what we knew. Well, I say get over yourself, you know, because you don't know it all, neither do I. We may know some things and have insights into certain truths of the Word that put us in a very unique place, but not for judgment. The last thing we need to do is judge. And we don't need to judge others, other Christians, other believers, or ourselves, or other people in this room. So get over it. The next time you feel like judging somebody, I challenge you to go out and start giving. And those thoughts and that type of mentality will soon disappear. It is easy to judge. You had in Philippians 4:8. You want to look there? Just so I'm not making it up. Philippians 4:8. Exercising faith to bring forth that which you have already received spiritually. Wow. Philippians 4:8. You know, we want the lifestyle of our believing and our walk to be simple. So, you know what? Quit overthinking things so much. You know, just quit overthinking it. You can beat it to death. You can analyze things as far as you want and take it as deep as you want. And, you know, keep it simple. Very simple. So this is an exhortation. Yes, it came from Paul. Paul wrote it, but who inspired this in Paul? Who gave Paul revelation to write this? Who is the author of the Word of God? God is the author of the Word of God. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. You know, this comes in the context of Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Maybe there's a correlation. Maybe if you are thinking of things other than this, it would blend itself to anxiety. See?
Who's in control of this?
I am.
You are, supposedly. The battlefield is the mind. You control your thinking. Thought comes into your mind, you run it through the filter of the word, and you say, No. I choose not to think that thought. I tell myself, my mind, shut up. Don't say that. I choose to think something else. I've been given everything there is to be given in Christ. See? But it's a daily walk. It's day by day. See? You never arrive. You never, you know, you may solve the problem one day, but next day it shows up again. Oh my God, there it is again. There it is again. There it is again. See? So every day you spend time with God in the Word. You get up in the morning, you grab your coffee, you get in a chair, and you read the Word of God. That's not difficult, is it? Huh? You think it'd be so easy. You think it'd be so easy. It's not that easy. Oh, it's easy for a few days. Yeah, we're cruising along. Then 2-3 weeks down the road, you realize, ain't that easy. How about speaking in tongues? How about praying together with your spouse, your children? How about praying when you get in the car and you're going to drive somewhere, transportation, you know, safety and all these sort of, a lot of you are really good at it. A lot of us are not that good at it. See? And you got to spend time developing yourself with other godly resources. Music, we have Sal Errico, Gino, there's other great teachings. We have teachings on our website. We have, there's many, many, many other great teachings. Joyce Meyer is on TV. Andrew Womack is on TV. David Jeremiah. All these people. You know, so they aren't speaking 100% doctrinal truth. You know what? I figure you're smart enough and have had enough exposure to figure that out. You know what I mean? Because the Spirit of God is working within you, too. We can learn. We can grow. We can develop. We can change. We can mature. And every day you spend time with those who strengthen you, who help you. You know, don't wait for them to call necessarily. Why don't you call them? You know, hey, how's it going, Todd? You know what? Blessed me to see you at fellowship the other day. I overheard you saying something to somebody that really inspired me and encouraged me. Hey, Judy, bless your heart. You know what? You and I never really talked that much. God put me on you on my heart, and I just thought I'd call and say hello. It's not that hard. Why is it so easy to get talked out of it then? You know, every day, spend some time being quiet. It's not that hard to spend time not being quiet. So here we are, Dan. Take some time. I'm talking about time, too. Every day, spend some time with God. Every day, spend some time feeding your spirit and other godly sources. Every time, spend some time in quietness. Every day, spend some time with those who strengthen you. And finally, that every day you take time to stop throughout the day to acknowledge God. It's really, I think, a really important thing. You know, we'll just make this the last place I go to. Look at Psalm 119 on your phones. Please take your phone and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 164. I see some of you are still doing the old school way, huh? Yeah. Anyway, David says, Psalm 119, 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. And you know, it's something you can do. You can stop and you can do several times a day. It requires almost no effort whatsoever. But you know what? Doing it, if you'll try it, will guarantee almost to radically change your life. Because what we're doing is we're learning to take pauses throughout the day to recognize God's presence in our lives. How about programming your phone? You have an alarm on your phone? to chime intermittently throughout the day, and regardless of where you are or what you're doing, when you hear that chime, you pause to recognize God's presence in your life and to thank Him for being in your life. I've seen this happen with people. Joe Evans. He was down here visiting one time. His phone's going ding, ding, ding. I'm like, what's that? Oh, that's a reminder to pray. And then a couple hours later, ding, ding, ding. What is that? Well, that's a reminder to pray. We need reminders. Because we can get so taken on all these other paths. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, yeah. God, I'm just so grateful that you're in my life. You know what? And probably I really need you right now to help me get through something. So I just offer my heart to you. See? And to thank Him for being in our lives. You know, when so much seems to be going on beyond our control, and there are things like that, there are days like that, if not most days, it's good to really pause and to acknowledge that God is on the throne. He's righteous over all His judgments, regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel, or regardless of what others are or are failing to do. That is senses information that is bombarding your mind to distract you and to tell you the Word of God is not true. Faith believes in the impossible. Faith talks about the truth of the Word, not what I see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. And you know where most information comes through? Right through here. Because our minds are so visual. We see all these things. We're always assessing things and filtering things and making whatever. And you're pulled and swayed and turned and back and forth. But if we take that time to pause and kind of reset at various points throughout the day, you will get energized. It'll energize your atmosphere. It'll energize you, keep you feeling really more connected. So, these are important things. But most importantly, I think, keep it simple and realize you've got it. You've got it. You've got it. What I'm talking about here in a practical sense is just kind of convincing your mind and moving you over into a place where you are more in a frequency alignment with the Almighty God. See, God doesn't need us necessarily. He doesn't need us to do this. We need to do this so we can move into this alignment place with God and hear from Him and align with Him and connect with Him. So, confession is a very important thing. I'll close with this, a confession. You're familiar with some of these, maybe. But what it says is, I confess that I am proactive in keeping my spiritual condition strong. Think you could say that? Healthy and vibrant. I do not ignore my spiritual life. Just as I feed my body every day and I have certain regimes in place to care for my physical condition, I am careful to attend to the words of my spirit and in my soul. You know, more people give attention to food and drink than they do to the things of God. Honestly. We're all subject to that. We're all guilty of that. Okay? Here we are. Raise your hand. I'm a sinner. Okay? Christ has already paid the price for everything that we've ever done wrong. But it doesn't mean that we keep doing wrong just because grace exists. See? I'm careful to attend to the needs of my spirit and soul. And as a result, I'm strong. I'm spiritually strong. I am spiritually healthy. My heart is vibrant. I am disciplined, committed, and careful to keep my spiritual condition in top-notch shape. See? We'll go to the gym, we'll work out, we'll eat, we'll do all sorts of things, some of us, some not. And who those who don't feel guilty because they're not. And those that do sometimes feel proud because they are. So, you know, let's not judge. And let's not judge ourselves, okay? But let's do those things in our lives that keep us fit. See, body, soul, and spirit. Because we are a three-part being. We're not just spirit beings. We have a body. See, so we do our best to take care of it. See, and in our soul life, we try to, you know, entertain things that keep us lighthearted. And, you know, it varies from day to day. So, thank you for allowing me to preach and talk a little bit about some of these things. But you've got everything it is that God has to give. And he just wants you to enjoy the benefits of that which he's already given through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you don't know how to exercise faith, which I think we're all growing in, then the greatest teacher is God Almighty. Like, God, I don't know how to believe for the impossible. Okay, well, I'll teach you. At least you have a willing heart. But if we never say it, we never express it, we just think we're doing it or realize we're not doing it and don't know why we're not doing it or don't know how to do it, but we never ask the right question, then how do we ever change? Can you imagine going to your job first day and never asking one question? Wow. You would be a really smart person. I mean, I'm always asking questions about different things. You know, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, where does this go? Where does that? You know what I'm talking about. You take those same types of things and put them into application in our relationship with God. If you don't get an answer, maybe you're asking the wrong question. You know, try some different questions. See. We covered a lot of territory here, and maybe I'm just kind of plowing the field this morning a little bit. But it is food for thought. And I encourage you to keep moving forward in this journey. Because God wants you blessed. God wants you healed. He wants you healthy. He wants you prosperous. He wants you sound in every category. I don't care if you feel like it or not right now. The Word of God, the will of God, the work of Jesus Christ guarantees that that is a truth from the Word. See? Now, how do we bring that truth into reality? That really is the quest. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing goodness. Father, we simply and humbly ask that you would help us, Father, to grow and to be more Christ-like, to be transformed, Father, by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and that, Father, we surrender all. We relinquish all the things in our lives, Father, that just have held us back from walking with the full potential of everything that Christ is and continues to be within us. And thank you for magnifying this information to us, Father. In the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. God bless you guys.
Shanti? Shanti? Shanti?